Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Roger Waters of the legendary Pink Floyd. I'm here to talk about the upcoming event at DAR Constitution Hall on October 16th called Music Heals. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, before we get into the event itself, first tell me, how did you meet the members of this Marine Corps band? Weren't you going around Walter Reed for a while?
It's a long story. 5 years ago, Bob and Lee Woodruff, who they run a series or have done for a number of years, run concerts in New York called Stand Up for Heroes, which they put on every November. They put on a show which was stand-up comedians at the beginning of it, and Bruce. They got the bus along to do a bit at the end where he sings a couple of acoustic songs, and then they auction his guitar, and that's the gig. And they did really, really well and raised a lot of money. Anyway, 1 year they said to me, would I go along and meet some of the veterans at a cocktail party at the Natural History Museum?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I said, yes, of course I will. I'd be delighted to. What do you want me to do? They said, just wander around and say hello to people. I said, I can do that.
I can do that.
Yeah, I have a pair of sneakers and everything. So I did, and I went there, and it was slightly stiff, but it was obviously a good thing. And I thought, right, I'm just going to dive in. And there was this Marine in dress blues in a wheelchair. And I thought, well, I'm gonna start there. So I went over and said hello, and he said hello, and I now know him quite well. His name was Juan Dominguez, and it was obvious that he hadn't got any legs, and he only had one arm. And after we'd been talking for a minute or two, I could see in his eyes, he suddenly dawned on him who I was, and he obviously knew me, and he knew my work, and what, and he went, you're. And I went, yeah. And he went, wow. He said, I play the guitar.
Uh-oh.
He said, and I looked at him and I thought, this is a stretch. You know, how do you play the guitar with only one arm? And he went, I used to play the guitar. Obviously, I don't play the guitar anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to be really difficult. And then he brightened up. He is such an indefatigable character. Is Dom. And he went, now I play the drums. And that's how it started.
Do you remember how he lost his limbs?
Yeah, he stood on an IED, like most of them.
Yeah, but do you know what country and all that? What war?
Iraq.
Oh, okay.
It's Iraq, yeah. They're, most of the men I work with are either Iraq or Afghanistan.
Gotcha.
The ones I work with in this program, anyway.
Gotcha.
I have a lot. I have vets coming often. You know, whenever I do a show anywhere, I invite 20, either vets or vets and their carers or wives or whatever, or spouses, to come to the show, and we speak to them. So I've had vets from every war in living memory coming to the war shows. But these guys are, yeah, mainly Iraq and Afghanistan.
Gotcha. So in addition to him, then you also started meeting other musicians that were vets?
Well, they then, Bob and Lee Woodruff, who run that foundation,
mm-hmm.
Bob was a journalist who was in an IED incident and got quite a lot of his head blown away and survived and recovered. And after, so he you know, has an enormous affinity for these men, having been through some of the same trauma. The next year, they said to me, all right, will you come and play? And will you come and do the gig? And I said, let me think about that. There was something sort of that worried me about the idea of going and taking my band and sort of showing off,
mm-hmm.
if you like. I was uncomfortable about it. And then I had an idea. So I called them back and I said, hey, I've got an idea. And I said, all right, what is it? I said, what if I go to Walter Reed and meet up with these guys? And I had heard on the grapevine that there was a program there with a guy doing rehabilitation work with them, using the learning of musical instruments as therapy. I said, what if I go down there and we put together a band of these guys, and we'll do a set. And the You are.
Such
crazy.
An awesome idea.
And no, they didn't. They went, you're crazy. And I went, well, listen, put it to the board. So they had a board meeting, and they went, are you sure? And I went, yeah, I'm sure. All right, let's do it. So then I had their blessing, and so then I started going to visit, and I met Arthur Bloom, who runs the program at Walter Reed, and I started meeting these guys, and I've been working with them ever since.
Wow, it's such a great idea. And so, and they'll be up there on stage with you at Music Heals, right? And this is this Friday, next Friday on the 16th at DR Constitution Hall. How many of them will be up there? You know, talk about the show. Like, how many of them will be actually on stage?
I'm running their names through my brain now because a couple of them have left Walter Reed now, so they're no longer in the army. Eric, who was one of the very first guys that I met, and Josh, who were two of my guitar players, they are now, Josh is a civilian. I think Eric may be as well. And then there was another one who's still in the army, but he's moved to Arizona. Another Eric, Major Eric Johnson. So I think there are seven guys currently there because sadly, we get new guys who come in. So there's a couple of new guys this year. I think there'll be seven or eight of them on stage in Constitution Hall, plus some other service people who provide backing vocals, one of whom I know very well now, who's called J.W. Cortez, who did the last gig that I did with him in New York. He is also no longer in the service. He was a Marine. He's now a cop in New York City. But they all have one goal, which is to help each other and to help this program. And I think the program is a wonderful, wonderful program. And so we're trying to raise money in order that the program, which is called Music Corps, can spread through other veteran communities across the United States and hopefully eventually across the world, because we are all brothers, after all.
Yeah, I mean, is that some of the most rewarding work? You've done it all in your career, but is this one of the, you know, more rewarding things you've ever done?
It's the most rewarding thing that I've ever done.
That's awesome. So, and in terms of the event, in addition to Music Corps, you also have some celebrity rockers up there with you too, right? Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins,
yep.
Tom Morello, Rage Against the Machine. How did you set that up? Were they big fans of yours, or vice versa, or how'd that work out?
Both. It goes both ways. But what happened was when we started trying to do this, the sort of people who are helping me produce this event. Andrew Zweck, who's been my agent and tour manager for 15 years, Uncle Ron Delsner at Live Nation, Craig Schneigerman from Live Nation, the Live Nation family, they're all trying to help me do this. They say, you know what would be great? If you could get a couple of names on the marquee to help, you know, sell tickets and encourage people to support this and blah, blah, blah. So I wrote a bunch of letters to a lot of people. And you know, the thing is with people in rock and roll or the music industry or whatever, they're pretty busy and they get booked up a long time in advance, and many of them weren't available, but these guys were, and they jumped on it and said, we'd love to do it. So I spent a day with Tom out here in the Hamptons, where I'm living, a couple of weeks ago. No, last week. And we played through some stuff. I'd met him once before, you know, just for a sort of at a dinner, but I didn't really know him. Now I know him a lot better now, having spent a day with him playing music. What a lovely fella. So he's going to be doing a couple of songs with them, but with them, not on his own or with his own musicians. Everybody who joins in with this thing becomes part of the Music Corps band. So we are sort of, although some of us are professional musicians, we become part of their band, and so we work with them. So Tom will be, you know, he's figured out what he wants to do, and one of the guys actually plays great guitar, Greg, and so Tom and he will be kind of trading guitar licks at a certain point when we get loud. So that's great. I talked to Billy today on the phone. He's coming in a few days before to rehearse. We know exactly what he's going to be singing and what he's going to be playing and doing. So we've almost got the whole kind of set figured out now.
Does the set include a mix of some Pink Floyd stuff, some Rage, some Smashing Pumpkins, some choices from the Music Core band? You know, how do you go about picking the set list?
You know, no, it doesn't include any Smashing Pumpkins or Rage stuff. We've discussed all this in great depth. There's a lot of my music, but then there's also a lot of stuff that we all recognize and understand. Well, partly it's stuff that I've done before with the band. So, for instance, when we played in MSG a couple of years ago, we did Imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And before we did it, I went to the men and women and said, are you guys cool with doing this song? Because it's, you know, well, it's John Lennon, and it's very pointed in its political and philosophical attitudes. And they all just went, absolutely. Which is not to, you know, say that their political or affiliations might have anything to do with that. But they recognize that it's a beautiful song that is actually about love. It's a love song, in fact, Imagine, as we know. And so they couldn't have been happier than to do it. When we did it in 2013, we did it, I sang it. When we do it on Friday week, Tom Morello will sing it.
Nice.
I can't wait.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of my stuff, but then, you know, we fall back on standards. So, for instance, JW sings, and he's done it before with us, and he does a fantastic job. He sings The Change Is Going to Come. So there we are.
Yeah.
Immediately we're into Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke, yeah.
We're going to do a bit of Bill Withers, Lean On Me. These are things that just appeal to me, but they're classics.
Sort of uplifting songs throughout the years.
Uplifting songs about the potential that we have to help one another, A, and B, to heal one another, and C, possibly in the long run, to change the way the world is organized so that, you know, we don't have to be dealing with these problems. So and Dylan, we play some Dylan stuff, but there's a John Prine song in there. There's, you know, so that's sort of where we are. Sheryl Crow is on the marquee. As I'm sure you noticed as well.
Yeah. Is she doing a video message or something?
Well, she's doing more than a video message. She's because it turned out that it's actually impossible for her to be there on the 16th. So we spent last Sunday evening with her in a studio in DC, and we filmed a performance with her singing. With three of the vets and with me and three BVs and a piano player. Actually, I don't mind telling you, she's singing Blowing in the Wind.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Dylan,
And I haven't seen the cut yet, but I have no doubt but that it will be stunning. And she's really desolate that she can't be there. It's personal stuff. It's family stuff, and I can totally understand and whatever. But she took the time to come and make this recording with us. So part of the evening will be we've got a decent LED screen in the Constitution Hall, so we will see that performance live once only, because we're not filming this show and it's not going out on television or anything, so this will be for the people who are there. But I adore Sheryl, and she's fantastic, I promise you.
Yeah, I think she was just here for, I guess the reason she was in D.C. partly, too, was she was here for that rally against addiction, not on the National Mall, I think, exactly. Over the weekend. And I know, because we spoke to Joe Walsh, played it, too, of the Eagles, and we spoke to him a couple weeks back, and it's sort of the same deal. It's nice that you guys are kind of, you know, trying to put your celebrity status and your fame to some really good use here. I mean, that's the name of the game.
That is the name of the game.
Before we go, we actually did this with Joe as the sort of the way to wrap up the interview, and we talked to him and it worked out really well, I thought. We kind of, do you mind ending with a little bit of sort of rapid fire questions here?
Of course. I'll answer anything unless you ask me something I don't want to answer, and then I'll tell you to F off.
I'm hoping we get one of those, you know, just to make it juicy. No, that's cool.
I don't think I've ever spoken on the radio without using the F word, but I'm trying hard, so we'll see.
Well, that's the beauty of us pre-taping this, you know what I mean?
Oh, cool, yeah.
If you drop an F-bomb, we can cut it out. All right, awesome. Well, yeah, so we'll rapid fire, and they're all kind of, about various songs of yours and stuff, so I want to just get your take. All right, cool. So for my personal favorite, Wish You Were Here, do you, after all these years, have you decided, do you prefer a green field or a cold steel rail?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a green field guy, personally.
Yeah? Are you getting better at telling the difference between a smile and a veil on that?
I think I am, yeah. That's a very good question. That's a serious question.
It's very deep.
Yeah, I absolutely am. This is one of the few good things about getting old. I do believe that the possibility exists that we get wiser as we get older.
I hope so.
And we get better at spotting those things.
Awesome. Well, speaking of, you mentioned older, but let's now go back to when you were really young, when you were a child, comfortably numb. Did you really ever have a fever with hands like two balloons? Like, was that an actual incident?
Yes. That's just description of having a very high fever, probably 106 or something, you know, when my tiny brain was kind of boiling. And yes, I did have those illusions. I also, I'll tell you this, is an anecdote that very few people know. At some point in the mid-70s, probably during the making of the record Wish You Were Here, I was in the canteen at Abbey Road one day, talking to the band about something or other, and blah, 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 blah. And I suddenly, everything looked as if I was looking at it the wrong way through a pair of binoculars.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really. And I thought to myself, I'm going to use the F word now. Fuck me, I thought. This is what having a nervous breakdown must feel like. Now I get what it must have been like to be Sid and hearing voices or whatever.
Right.
Or that reality suddenly turns into something plastic that you have no control of and is not right. And you know it's not right, but there's nothing you can do about it. So I got up and I made my way up the stairs. I sat down at the piano in Studio 3 at Abbey Road, and I started playing the piano with my eyes shut, and I played for a bit and played a bit. And I opened my eyes occasionally, and within about 5 minutes, everything came back into normal focus. So you brought up comfortably numb. There is no pain, you are receding. Is actually a reference to that moment, which is the closest I personally have ever come to thinking, I'm mad. I've gone mad.
Wow. And do you still not know what caused that? Or
no.
Just, wow. That's, well, hey, it gave us a great song out of it, so I'm glad it happened.
I was in the middle of one of my many divorces at the time, I think, so I was under a certain amount of emotional pressure.
I got you. Man, and just putting that song on, well, we can all sort of go in exactly into that feeling. We can almost imagine exactly the emotion you just described right there. Wow.
Okay.
So like reverse pair of binoculars, you said.
Yeah, you know, if you take a pair of binoculars, turn them around, look through the wrong end, everything is very, very far away.
Wow.
In a scary way.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that one. All right, yeah, on to the next one. In money, you said in the song it's the root of all evil. Do you think it still is today?
It's not money. is money is a device. It's the love of money.
Ah.
I would expand that to the love of power. The love of money and power are the twin roots of all evil.
I gotcha. And that kind of relates to your line in Have a Cigar. Has riding the gravy train become the name of the game for too many people?
Maybe. You know, I'm not here to criticize people. Whatever. People, you know, we all make choices in life. And some of us make choices that have more to do with the bottom line than others of us, I would say.
Exactly. Well, and you've kind of always been sort of more of a, you know, especially the songs you mentioned for the show, kind of an inclusive guy, which brings me to Hey You, when you say, together we stand, divided we fall. Is that how does that message still apply today?
You've almost made me go lump in the throat, because my friend who I've never met, Chuck Armour, has been told, 4 days ago, he was told that in 30 days' time, he will be released from Guantanamo.
Oh, wow.
I know this man because in a letter to his lawyer, who's a wonderful advocate for those incarcerated without trial, called Clive Stafford Smith, who is attached to an organization in London called Reprieve. Anyway, Shaka sent him a letter, and in it, he mentioned the fact that one of the things that keeps him sane, he's been incarcerated in Guantanamo for 13 years,
mm-hmm.
Not without, you know, as far as we know, and we know pretty well by now because there's a lot, the evidence is in, he's entirely innocent of any crime. So I'm not going to go down that road, but what I will say is that he said the lyrics to Hey You, which he never hears because he's not allowed recorded music, but he's got the lyrics in his head and he keeps them there and he repeats them to himself, are one of the mechanisms that he uses to keep himself sane in that predicament.
Wow.
Thank goodness that he is now being released, we hope. I mean, I don't trust those arseholes, so I'll believe it when I see it, but the day that Shaka is released will be huge for me and for all the other supporters who have supported him through the last 13 years.
Wow, that's amazing. When you said that, it gave me chills, reminded me of, I don't know if you ever seen, you know, The Shawshank Redemption. He says that line about that, you know, even when you're locked up in jail, you know, they can't ever take away the music that's in your head, and that's how you kind of get through it.
I hadn't made that connection, but I loved that movie.
Yeah. Wow, that's really powerful. I guess that kind of leads us to time a little bit. When you're locked up, there's a lot of moments ticking away to make up the dull day. What's that for you? In your obviously nothing, there's nowhere near close to like Gitmo for you. But if you got a dull day, how do you tick them away?
You know what? I don't have dull days. my dance card is so full that the minute I sit down, I find something else is demanding that I get up and dance. And so I spend very little time sitting at the side of the room. I have stuff to do all the time. I go, oh, shit, I've got to do that, I've got to do that, I've got to do that, I've got to do that. The demands that I make upon myself and also that I find made upon me because of the predicament of others are great. So I never have a dull moment.
Awesome. What do you think? You know, it's been a couple of decades since you wrote these legendary lyrics, but what do you think? Are we all still just bricks in the wall?
No, of course we're not. You know, you're trying to drag me kicking and screaming into metaphysical conversations.
I'm trying, man.
Well, if we had 2-3 weeks and we were sitting on a beach somewhere with a glass of Tipperó and the sun was going down, you would find it hard to find a companion who was more ready to drift into those arenas, but it may be that the format of this quickfire, radio station question and answer thing is not the right forum for that depth of conversation.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, no, I mean, but so many of your lyrics were metaphysical like that. I mean, I could see, I go over and over listen to, you know, even something like Pigs on the Wing and thinking about, you know, I guess the best way to guard against the pigs on the wing is to not be alone in the world. But there's so many different ways to interpret things. Could you settle that one for me?
Sure. Pigs on the Wing. Pigs on the Wing is a very, very simple song about how we, all of us, are subject to threat from the malign powers that hover above us. They're the powers that be, if you like, from Radio Chaos or from, you know, a lot of my other songs. But what the song is fundamentally, is the fundamental message is saying that we can't get through this alone. That's why there's lines in that song about, you know, is it every dog needs somewhere he can bury his bone? They're all lines about how we need other human beings. Human beings are social animals. We're all social animals. That is why politics is important. We need to band together to organize ourselves in order to defend ourselves against the attack of pigs that might shit on us from a great height.
Right.
And yes, I'm talking about Dick Cheney or whoever you want. You know, Dick Cheney is a good example because he is so loathsome beyond anybody's contempt that we can use him as an example. Whoops, there's my phone. I'm going to try and turn it. Hang on, just one second.
Yeah.
All right. Can I call you back, brother? I'm going to call you right back. All right, bye.
He's in demand.
What?
You're in demand.
Well, no, that's just a friend of mine calling. So I like to answer the phone when my friends call.
As you should. Yeah, you were just talking about the pigs on the wing. And
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So if you didn't care what happened to me and I didn't care, we would zigzag our way through the boredom and pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the buggers to blame and watching for pigs on the wing. It's pretty basic, obvious stuff, but it's the strength of that little tiny song comes from if you didn't care and if I didn't care.
Yeah, for each other, yeah.
Exactly. If we don't care for each other, then we might just as well be dead.
We're just zigzagging through life.
Exactly.
No, I think it's almost the key to so many of your songs right there, boiled down into such a simple idea right there.
All of my songs are about the same thing. They always have been. They all stem from that couplet in Echoes, which was quite shortly. It's 1970, so it's very soon after Sid went crazy. We were cast into a sea of doubt because nobody wrote in the band. No, nobody. I mean, I'd written maybe one song or something, and maybe Rick had vague pretensions to songwriting, but really nobody wrote. So we were either going to have to go back to getting a proper job, or somebody was going to have to figure out how to write songs. Because pop groups can't survive, as Joe Walsh will have told you last week. You can't survive without a songwriter.
Totally.
You have to have at least one. And So in Echoes, there's that verse that goes, two strangers passing in the street, by chance two passing glances meet, and I am you, and what I see is me. So even in those very early days, that was 1970, I think, my brain, whatever the bit is in my brain that it cares about people or empathizes, understood intuitively that we are, although we may be strangers, we are the same person, essentially. So there is no us and them. And so, to put it very simply, the walls that appear to divide us are constructs, and they're constructed by others for nefarious means. And our job as human beings is to tear those walls down, and to engage with one another in a loving and supportive and empathetic way. And that's all I've written about ever since. I'm a bit of a one-trick pony. I admit it.
No, man. Hey, if that's your one trick, well, we're all eternally grateful. But you're absolutely right. All your songs kind of come down to that same essential idea. I mean, is that why you picked the pig balloon as sort of the symbol there?
That was just a theatrical device when we made Animals, but because it resonates with people, I've sort of clung to it a bit, and it recurs through shows.
I know it flew away at one point, I think, in London, but did you also know, I just read a book called I Killed Pink Floyd's Pig, written by a Seattle DJ. Did you know about an incident in Seattle where a radio station loaned the pig out before the show and it got popped by an arrow? They rushed to patch it up and got it delivered to your show like a minute before they needed to. Are you even aware of that? Crazy stuff. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking all the time to join us. Before you go, could you settle? There's been a big debate in the newsroom. Could you settle one thing once and for all? This business about whether Dark Side of the Moon syncs with Oz? Because there's a lot of parts that match perfectly, my friend.
It certainly has nothing to do with any intention on anyone's part. It may be that coincidence exists. I have no idea. I've never checked it out. I'm sort of not interested in it. The only bit of that story that I like is the story about the cop in Louisiana following the bus down some, you know, lonesome road and thinking it's rather erratic and stopping it, a motorcycle cop, and opening the door and immediately becoming inebriated with the huge clouds of marijuana smoke that were coming out. And the story is that he fought his way sort of to the back of the bus, and there in a private room at the back of the bus was Willie Nelson sitting listening to Dark Side of the Moon and playing The Wizard of Oz on a DVD or a VHS. It's almost certain that this story is completely apocryphal,
right.
But I love it nevertheless.
Like it took on a legend over the years.
Yeah, Willie Nelson's a bit of a hero, so, you know, of mine. So I love the idea that that might have happened.
Well, if it's good enough for Willie, while he's out on the road again, I guess it's apocryphal or not, we'll take it.
He's always out on the road. He will, as he will always be. That is who he is, which is great.
Absolutely. Well, we'll let you go. We know you've been here. You've been more than generous with your time. So thank you so much. Again, it's called Music Heals, the benefit at DAR Constitution Hall on Friday, October 16th, to benefit MusiCorps Band, which just sounds like it's such a great idea and such a great concept. So, and you know, if anyone deserves it, it's definitely the vets.
Well,
thanks so much.
If anyone wants to know more about it, Jason, they could go to rogerwaters.com and check it out, because there's a link there to find out what it is, who the people are. And there's also a few videos on that website of me working with the guys at Walter Reed and, you know, and us talking about it and so on and so forth. So anybody who's interested, go there. These guys need our support.
Awesome. And I assume tickets are still available, right?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Luckily, that's not my job.
You focus on the music. We'll figure that one out.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Mr. Waters. We really appreciate it.
All right, Jason, thank you.
All right, everybody. That's Roger Waters of Pink Floyd on WTOP.